Are you getting my point? We'll have satisfied ourselves and gone to give testimonies of how powerful we are as ministers. That when those people spoke against me, I brought down fire from heaven. Do you still doubt that I am anointed? Say, man, Baba, that guy's anointed, though. It's true. But possibly he has misused his anointing. It probably wasn't the time for judgment, but the guy has brought down judgment upon people. Are you following my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? So Jesus said, what are we supposed to do? He said, don't concern yourself with the things that you will eat, with the things that you will drink, or with the things, material things that you will possess. He said that is the job of Gentiles. 16 keys to getting bread every morning shouldn't be your job, actually. He said, know one thing for sure. When it is time for bread, God will supply bread. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That if you wake up every morning confessing about bread, you really have a problem. Now, when I say bread, I mean all kind. Look, be it job, wife, husband. That is why, you know, every movement, you know what I mean by movement. If you want to gather a large crowd, just tell people, I will teach you the keys with which you will turn your stones to bread. And everybody will gather. So, you know, this is one thing I found about God. From experience and from reading the scriptures. When you have not yet left the bread and the stone alone, God will just be watching you. So let me see how far you will go. This year is my year of marriage. Therefore, once I see breakthrough supernatural, somebody say, sow a seed towards getting that husband. You are in front. 15 days fast to downloading the correct wife. You are there. Are you getting my point? One place to the other, I say, anoint your, as you are stepping to your house, anoint your footstep. I'm telling you that this is how husbands or wives come to people. You are every day pursuing that thing. You know, God will just be looking at you like this. Especially when you're a child that he really loves. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anna was shouting, God, 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 please, please, please. God was looking like this. Until, either by accident or by deliberate instruction, somebody, whichever way she learned, that listen, if a man, if a woman of God wants to see God, then he must follow holiness. Without it, you can't see the Lord. He said, what is holiness? God needs a priest in the land. He said, I volunteer. God, can I deliver a priest for you? God said, how can he? You are. All right, give her a priest. Are you getting my point? To replace Eli and his household. Are you getting the principle? And they say, I have noticed this thing. I've seen it a lot. People pursuing after one thing, the same thing. When did I give that testimony about the one that my wife told me she heard from somewhere? About the woman who was believing God, praying until one day she said, God, you heard the testimony. The woman had prayed for years until one day she said, God, if it's the only thing, you will not give me. You have given me many other things. You don't want to give me children. Thank you very much. Let me just tell you, I will be happy. I won't complain again. I will worship you and I will rejoice in your presence at all times. The very following month, she conceived. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? Emphasizing that point, that stop hassling God for what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and with what shall we clothe ourselves. Now, this one thing I'm saying is very important. I'm explaining that Christians have used the cares of the world. They have made them objects of the worship of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That if I worship God, me too, I will build a house as big as Chris Ubazon in GRE. And he will know that it is not only his God that can do it, but my God is more able than that. Now, let me tell you something. God may want to show forth his excellence in life concerning that issue. Are you getting my point? But it doesn't have to be your job. God may say, look, you, your house will never be more than half of Chris Uba's house. And let me tell you something. God is not confused about his personality. Say, God, if you are really bigger than the God of these people, listen, you should do something bigger. Ah, God said, listen, I am not in doubt about my size. No, do you get my point? I don't need to jump down for people to know I am the Son of God. That's what Jesus was saying. I am not in doubt as to my size. Me and devil, we are not competing for size at all. Ask him, he knows. Actually, all the one we are doing is our covetousness we are servicing. That is why all our testimonies are, you know, last year when they said that, sow this seed I just knew that God, this call was for me. And I said, look at the car that the team produced. You know, if I hear that kind of testimony, I will spit. As we finish, I will spit behind and say, no, not here. I refuse to hear it. Maybe they were okay when we're trying to learn the basic things about faith and righteousness. Are you getting my point? But I think we have reached a point which we should grow beyond that level and step into the realm of true holiness, without which you will not see the Lord. Please, what I'm saying, I hope you have gotten it. As Christians, please, we are not competing with anybody about what our God can do. I like what Carmen said in that his song, The Witch's Invitation. He said the witch invited him to his house, gave him a big bound volume of newspaper clippings about what he had done. So, you see this man? I killed him. See this man? I cured him. See this one? By using druid worship, I healed him. This one, his auntie paid me to curse him with AIDS. He said, do you know through my understanding of the dark regions, I can make you rich or even curse someone to death? That's what the witch told him. He now asked him a simple question. He said, what can your God do to compare with this? Do you know what we Christians are doing today? We want to use the understanding of the light regions, not the dark regions now, and make people rich. And God said, no, that's not the idea. I am not pursuing the same thing. Isaac Horowitz, that's the name of the witch in the song. Isaac Horowitz may have had an issue with making people rich. God said, no, that may not be what I want to do. So you can have understanding of the light regions, but don't make it an assignment to go around making people rich, to show Isaac Horowitz that I can do more than God can. I like the answer that Kaman gave in that song. He said, I told the man, the real comparison is not what my God can do or what your God can do. He said, it's the condition of your soul and the condition of mine. He said, that you puppet of the devil, I will compare. He now began to tell him about how one day, the same demons that are serving you now, they will ferry you down to hell when you die. He said, but you see me, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and there is no devil that can lay a hand upon me. Now, I'm using that story to tell us something. A lot of times as Christians these days, we are pursuing, and that's my message for today actually, nothing more. We are pursuing the same goals as unbelievers. You know? You want to wear down into your the tail of your gown will be the same length as that of Okotiebo. Because we want to show that it's not only the unbelievers that can enjoy the things of this life. We Christians, also, listen, aren't nonsense. That is common sense gospel. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's common sense gospel. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. When it was describing people of faith. Some by faith were beheaded. Now, look, we need to get this thing back online. Some by faith, they were what? Beheaded. Refusing deliverance. It was faith. It wasn't unbelief. I've heard people tell me before that, listen, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they faced the king, they confessed positively. What did they confess? They said, God, King, our God is able to deliver us. He said, if you do what you say you will do, we know our God will deliver us. No, because what they were trying to say is that those guys maintained a positive confession. They kept on saying that our God will deliver us, our God will deliver us. I said, but the Bible said that. He said, even if not. They said, no, that if not is that if not, you king, if not, if you will not do what you say you will do, if you will not throw into the fire, then we will still not bow. I said, that's very stupid. If they didn't bow when they were being thrown in, why should they bow when they are not going to be thrown in? We wanted to make things say what they didn't say because we did not understand the power of total committing of your life to God. In which the people said that if he doesn't deliver us, we will still not bow. That is, by faith, they were ready to do what? Die. Let me tell you about what real faith is. Real faith is that every day I learn how to obey the will of God for my life. Are you getting my point? And whatever comes into my life as a consequence is the will of God. You know, I used to think, you know, because of the way we were brought up, and I said, oh, you know, God is good. I'm happy he doesn't rearrange experiences to fit our doctrines. He will allow things to happen, then he expects to go and learn the proper doctrine. The richest man, according to worldly calculation today, is who? Bill Gates. He's a man who said, only people who have nothing to do go to church on Sundays. The man said that he believes that after some time, they should be able to create artificial intelligence. The reporter asked him, are you forgotten the issue of God, God's creation? You know what Bill Gates said? He said, we have no evidence to support that God created anything. The guy doesn't believe in God. You know, I used to wonder. You know, those days when I was a younger Christian, you want to pray that his will to finish, to show him that God is God indeed. Listen, I've realized that God doesn't take some of those things very personal. It is you that it is worrying. Say, but you see, from what God has, look, it should be a Christian that will be the richest person in the earth. God has never made that an agenda. You are acquiring plenty of wealth. He said, it will give God glory. I think it's a lie. It will give, no, really. It the time that God took glory, are you getting my point? It was because men did not love their lives to death. The stories we have read about the persecution of the Christians, that what amazed people was that these people, lions will be killing them, they will be smiling. That you will look and say, look at all your money. Look at the houses. Look at everything. Look at your children and grandchildren that you have. Just renounce this God and we'll let you live. And the guy said, forget. I cannot do that to a God who has saved me. And they are lighting the thing on fire. The guy starts singing. That people were amazed that no. There must be a spirit inside these people. There must be a God that they are serving. That nothing motivates a man like this. You think God is competing with Bill Gates? As who have more money. For your information, you are counting the wealth, the way of the world. I hope you know that. In real substance, that the way God counts, we have no evidence that Bill Gates is anything near the top 100 richest men in the world. We don't have any evidence. You count Bill Gates' wealth, let me not even go into that. It's according to, you know, Bill Gates' wealth is perception. You know that? It's perception, that is. He says, the richest man is because we have all agreed that he's the richest man. What I mean is that he's valued according to the value of his stock, of the stock of Microsoft mostly. And the value of Microsoft stock is determined by perception of the public. If the public wake up tomorrow and say that they don't think that company is good, the share price comes down. No, that's a fact. If they wake up one morning and say, this man, we suspect that Windows might not be as good as we think. They think it keeps going down. Until one day, the company is still there. But the perception of the public, they may still be making as much money as they were making before. But somebody may just believe that maybe the shares won't do so well in another 1 year. And they stop buying it. They are still making as much money as they were making in doing their business. Yet, the value of Bill Gates' wealth drops. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. Then I used to think that why didn't God just make a Christian? You know, maybe you are in class. Say, Christians should be the most successful in this class. Let's face it, it's your personal ego you are servicing, not the ego of God. Now, these are things that appear very, very, I don't know, sometimes you appear convinced, like, Pastor Man, what are you saying? That does God not want his children to succeed? I didn't say that. I did not say that at all. But I am saying that we are using our energy, righteous energy, for what the Bible says does not satisfy. Let me say this again. It didn't say God wouldn't give it to you. It said, why do you use your strength for that which does not satisfy? Why do you spend your energy for that which is not really bread indeed? The energy that Christians use is righteous energy. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They wake up in the morning, they are sowing a seed towards a car they want to buy tomorrow. They wake up in the morning, they are confessing about a car they will buy in 2 years' time. And at the end of the day, the people will know that I've served God and God has blessed me. I am saying that the standards of the world is what you are trying to use to prove that God is God. And God is not interested. Let me say something to you. In fact, let me just introduce the next thing I want to say now. About the will of God in the sanctified heart. That's what I said I was going to preach about today. I wanted to do it last week, but we didn't get there. I ended up expanding some scriptures. Now, I've used this one to start today again. And then, I will start this one now. Maybe it will not be next week that I'll finish it, okay? The will of God in the sanctified heart. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. All things that I've been saying, all right, is trying to lay the proper foundation for the hearts of people. Let me explain what I'm saying. God said, in the wilderness, I made you hungry and I fed you with manna, that you may know that man does not live by bread alone, right? But when they got to the promised land, they didn't make them hungry before giving them a harvest. No. They always had as much as they wanted or as much as they needed. Is it that God is now saying that you shouldn't realize that man does not live by bread alone anymore? No. What he's saying is that let's lay the correct foundations. then what we experience after is built upon those foundations. At least then we know why we are doing the thing that we are doing. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm really saying. That is, it is not, don't pray about food, don't pray about this. That's not the point I'm making exactly. I'm saying that we must put everything in its proper place. Are you getting my point? For example, Jesus said, ask, all he ever said you should pray about food is, give us this day. A what? A daily bread. He said, don't concern yourself about the bread for tomorrow. Are you getting my point? He said, don't concern yourself that using the principles of confession, there are righteous laws, righteous ways to do things, but you are using it as if you are an unbeliever. You are using it as if somebody is not supplying your food. He said, wake up in the morning and call and continue to confess, and your food will come. He said, then you are saying it's your responsibility to bring the food. Then you are not a true servant of God. You are getting what I'm saying? So if we get the right principles in our hearts, we know the right things, then God begins to build what each person is supposed to do upon the basic foundation which, as Christians generally, we have lost. We have given testimonies of how to labor to get our own supplies by ourselves. You may say that I'm using a spiritual method, but still labor. Go and read on Mobajesu. You know Mobajesu? I don't know how many of you know, read the story of Mobajesu those days. Omobajesu said that when he wanted, no, Emmanuel Eni, I think it was Emmanuel Eni, there were two reigning occultists that became Christian in those days, Emmanuel Eni and Omobajesu. Emmanuel Eni said something. He said that when he wants to see Satan, listen to this, he wants to see the devil to discuss issues, he will fast sunrise to sunset for 11 months. Abstain from physical pleasures of all kinds. No drinking, no womanizing, nothing. For 11 months, I think it was 11 months. I read the book maybe around 1986, all right? So my memory of it may be a bit vague, but what I'm saying is basically, you know, it reflects the true state of issues. But the accuracy of each thing might be a bit, you know. But maybe like 11 months, thereabout. And at on the 11th month, Satan actually appeared to him, and they began to discuss. It's a spiritual principle he was operating. This is the problem with Christians. Christians also say, if you want to see God, go and fast. If you fast for 10 days, 14 days, God will appear. Listen to me, it's ungodly. You don't determine to God when he appears. If you fast, fast for your own sake. As for he will appear, you're kidding. It's an occultic practice. They are the ones that summon spirits. Christians don't. Whether you may call the spirit of God, you have no right to conjure it. God is one that will say, look, God and Ken Hagee will tell you that now, in today's, these are our modern times, I don't know anybody that had visions like he did. He will say most times, he's doing nothing that you can call spiritual. In one situation, he was in a hospital room, maybe watching TV. Then he noticed somebody coming, so he turned. And he saw the Lord physically appear to him. He had had an accident. He had broken his hand. He was healing in hospital when that happened. Christians want to tell you that, you know what you do? Tell the principles. You fast from here to here. You do this. After 30 days, then God will appear. Listen to me. It's ungodly. Don't do it. You will go mad. Your brain will depart from I'm telling. I know what I'm telling you. You will begin to hear voices, and they will literally run you mental. I don't believe in divination. Pray until the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you. You better reject all such voices. When the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you, he will tap you and call you. Say, come, I want to talk to you. What was Moses doing? He was going, tending sheep. Then he saw bush burning. And the Bible said when God saw that he turned to look, he began to speak to him. The guy had forgotten about the Israelites. He wasn't worrying about them again. He wasn't praying in the spirit. He was shepherding in the flesh. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because, no, that's the problem we have had. I told you that romance is the problem of human beings. They like romantic stories. Stories that touch, like my pastor would say. Romantic stories. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. You know, after praying for 15 hours, my spirit became quiet. Then I fasted for 17 more hours, and then my spirit was enlarged. And then I worshipped for 2 days, and then heavens began to open. And then when I began to praise, you know, the Bible says that God dwells in the praises of his people. Then the Lord came. And he told me, my son, thou shalt eat in the morning. And praise God, that's what I'm eating today. Meanwhile, an average human being gets up in the morning, goes to the fire, fry an egg. He doesn't have to worship for 17 hours for God to tell him, eat breakfast. In that book I told that we're going to release shortly, I told stories there that sometimes people say that, oh, after 15 days of praying, God finally spoke to me. I said, what did God tell you? When they tell you what God told them, he said, you have to pray for that. You should have just asked me. I would have told you simply. You mean you needed 15 days of fasting and praying to hear that one from God? You should have just called me and said, thank you, and said, what do you think? I would have just told you, bam. But in that 15 days, and the guy gives a testimony as a matter of spirituality, when in reality, he's showing us how much understanding he doesn't have. You know, if I ask you 2 plus 2, 4. If you ask Akinlu 2 plus 2, he will go get his counter. 2, 2. Then he will mix the counter together. It's as if you must mix the counter. Then he starts counting again. 1, 2, 3, 4. And he turns to you and says, 4. And he gives testimony. He said, do you know when I brought down my counter? I said, amen. And I began to count. And I was counting. And I was counting. Do you know he came to 4? And I was right. Woo! A man who knows and says, look, my friend. The real problem is that you did not know that 2 plus 2 is 4. That was why you needed the counter. Those of us that know, we don't count. Are you getting what I'm going to make? All right. So let me introduce that issue, then I will close. Please, I hope you have understood the main thing I want to say today. Please, let's stop pursuing the goals of the world and using righteous methods to achieve them. God said we must learn what to boast in. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. There are things you must boast in. Boast in your relationship with God. That's what should give you satisfaction. I told you before, you know, if it is money, physical money, you know, I too like, one, to have more cash than I physically have. I won't lie to you about it. Two, I like kingdom world ministry to have more cash than he physically has right now. Do you get my point? But you see, these are low-down priorities. They are very far down. I take pleasure in some other issues. So somebody might tell me that I have discovered that if you practice ministry, like one day I was telling somebody that I was going for a course in the U.S. for a month. He said, are you sure you're going to come back? I almost considered it an insult. I told him, but he's a man of understanding. I said, listen, I have a ministry I'm doing. He laughed. He said, there's ministry in America too. I said, ministry is to people. It's not a calling. It's not a gift. Ministry is a calling. It's an assignment. It's not a gift. You can exercise your gift anywhere, but to have a calling to people, it's not just anywhere you go. Moses was a good shepherd. He could lead, but the only person he could lead was Israel out of Egypt. Are you getting the point I'm making? If he decided to lead the American black slaves back to Africa, he has missed the point. You are getting the point I'm making? So I said, for me, what is it that I really take pride in? So somebody comes to me and said, if you get a look, you practice ministry here, you do your medical practice here, do you know you can actually earn as much as maybe $25,000 a month? Man, that's good money, man. I like that. Look, listen. If God speaks to you right now to give me $25,000, you can be sure that I will pray 1 hour for you, you know, extra. Pray for you alone. Now, all I'm going to say, I like the money too. But I said, you see, that cannot entice me. Do you know what really entices me? Every day, literally, almost every day, literally, but very frequently, every time I get to meet people, say, I heard you teach, and this is what that has done to my life. I heard you preach, this is what that has done to my life. Are you getting my point? At the end of the day, if I'm going for Christmas and my car overheats in Onitsha like it did last time and I had to turn back, that has not dissuaded me from what I am doing. Do you get my point? Because I am not serving God so as to get a car. I will not give you a look. I stopped testifying long ago about praise God. I bought a car. In fact, I don't think I've ever done it. I've never seen it as any big deal. No, really. I have, even when I didn't have, don't think that I've always had so many cars, so I never had it. No, when I was trekking, I didn't say anything. Like when I came to Enugu, they say, oh, you see, you buy a motor, you didn't wash it. I said, wash car. What is there to wash in a car? More than soap and thing that you pour on it. I don't come celebrating that I bought motor car. No, that these are not issues. No, not because it's too small. It's because I feel like it wasn't a goal I was going after in life anyway. So what is there to wash in it? Now, so I take my pride in something else. Do you get my point? I will not even come to testify to you that I served God so well. God gave me a 7-bedroom mansion in the center of Independence layout, and it is all mine, all walls painted, all taps flowing with water, and here are the keys. Praise God, brethren, serve the Lord, and He will give you your own house. You won't hear it from my mouth. Are you getting my point? It is not the object of service to God at all. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those things, they are those, you know, like oil in the engine. The engine will run, so we pour oil in it. But it's not the oil. You say, praise God, as an engine, I drove from here to Lagos and I got 2 gallons of engine oil. You would have just called him and said, your owner would have been stupid not to have put engine oil inside you. How did he want you to get to Lagos? Now you are getting the logic. You are getting the point anyway. Look, those are not goals in life. Let's stop running with against unbelievers. We are not facing the same direction. I will show them my God is able. My friends married at the age of 16, and they have to say, look, me, I will marry 2 years earlier and I'll have 6 children before the day. Listen, if God does that for you, good. If He doesn't do it, He has not become less God, neither has He made the other people's God more powerful than your own. I have told people, anybody who is listening to the gospel I preach, please, don't sow seed to get, sow seed to bless. Did you hear what I said? Don't sow seed to get, sow seed to what? Bless. That is, if I say, sow to the buying of a new microphone as an example. Don't say, Lord, as I give towards this microphone, amplify my voice in my house. That doesn't mean anything. Lord, as I give to this microphone, if it's Pastor Bangi that's buying it, or the Semeka, whichever one of them, or Chuku Bike that's buying the microphone, may they buy the good one in Jesus' name. Amen. I sow a seed towards the buying of a good microphone. That's how the Christians give. All these ones that as I give towards this microphone, my loudspeaker in the house will become bigger. It's a devilish way to give. Are you getting my point? This is what I'm saying. Listen to me. Believe me. In a few years, people will realize it and they will begin to preach it. I'm saving you all the hassle and regrets. A friend of mine came the other day. He said, a man gave out. Say, the man came to meet him and said, how exactly do you experience the glory of God? Because he preached to him that if you want to experience the glory of God, you should give a great offering to the Lord. So the man has 1 great car. Brand new. Assume he just bought a brand new 7 Series BMW. Now, you know how much that is? After giving it, the guy didn't experience any glory. So he went and asked somebody else. Now that was what he gave us an offering. So he could experience the glory. So he asked somebody, he said, please, how do you experience the glory? The guy said, my brother, I don't know. I just added my own word. But the guy just said, I don't know. Am I the one that told you, you will experience the glory? The guy told me, said, look, son, it's as if the man was beginning to regret. Do you know if he had given that car to that man of God because he wanted to honor the man from his heart, it won't pain him even if he treks after that. Personally, I have given when I was broke. I have given when I needed money. And as God is my witness, I wasn't giving so that God will help me meet the need. I said to my wife then, do you know that we must not, Bible says, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the cloud will not reap. New Living Translation says that he that waits for conditions to be perfect will get nothing done. I said this offering that we want to give towards so and so issue, in our heart we had proposed it before this need came. Therefore, it is a need also. I don't know whether you get my point. To give that money is also a need. So how do you prioritize the needs? Like one of my friends said, he said that his landlord, you cannot tell him that you had problems. That's why you didn't pay your rent. He will tell you your rent is also a problem. And he was telling me, he said, he thought about it and realized that this man is making sense. It's because people think that paying of rent is by the way. In the same manner, my wife and I reasoned. I said, There is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. And what I mean is that money has label on it. Personally, you know your own labels. Are you getting my point? I said this particular money has been labeled in our hands. We need money. We would have loved to retain that money for themselves, but in the Macedonians, in the depth of the poverty, you will still give it out. The God must rapidly solve the other issues. Believe me, he did not. I just went lower, you know what I mean, in the total balance in my hands. The thing just dropped at the amount of money I gave. Are you getting my point? But you see, I have learned that the Bible says that God knows my needs. And the challenge in life is to walk by faith in that statement. Do you know that? Not to wake up every morning. In fact, one thing that the good Lord has helped me to understand is that what I need, and that's what I pray about when it comes to things like that. Once I pray about such matters, I start asking God, please, I don't want my mind disturbed. You get my point? I want my mind at peace. So give me peace, you know, the peace that passes all understanding. And, you know, sometimes God just leads you to do certain things that will, you know, help you establish the peace of God in your heart. That's all I concern myself with. God knows, he knows I will never do it. I won't come to him and say, God, you will meet my need. You know, last week, this guy was in need. I met the need. As I sowed into his life, you will repay. He that giveth to the Lord, giveth to the poor, lend it to the Lord. God, pay me what you owe. Pay me what you owe. So I took my tithe booklet, and I showed all the stubs of how I've been giving offering towards the things of God. I said, God, listen, my friend, if you have done that before, repent now. And say, God, I only heard about you with the hearing of my ears. I am so sorry. Like Job said in Job chapter 42, he said, God, I'm sorry. All this my ranting and ranting were the rantings of an ignorant person. Do you get my principle? Listen, we are not running like unbelievers. We are, look, this is what a holy people mean. Actually, literally, it means they are slaves of God. There are people that God used the way he likes them. There was a prayer I prayed once. I used to pray that prayer. It's a very funny prayer. So the last time the prayer came to my mind, I believe it was the Spirit of God speaking to me, all right? A thought popped up in my mind. You know what the thought was? Simply, I don't serve you, you serve me. Did you hear what I said? That it was the Spirit, like what the Spirit of God telling me, I don't serve you. Let's get this clear. You serve me. Stop asking me to do things that are convenient for you. You will do things that are convenient for me. You don't like it, it's not my problem. I used to do that all the time, you know? I'll get a certain situation that I'll pray that God, please exempt me from this. And nine times out of ten, I'm never exempted from it. The last time the thought flashed across my mind, a thought came rapidly after it. Say, who's serving who? Do you get my point? It is, you know, those are children's gospel. That if you want a big car, you give out a spare tire. Let's learn to serve God and serve God. People have said that, look, God expects you to, anytime you are asking for something back, God says, anytime you need something, ask for it and leave it there. Are you getting my point? Like I said earlier, if you want to sow seeds to bless. Please don't sow seeds to get. Let me say it again. If you want to sow seeds, do what? Sow seeds to bless. Don't sow seeds to get. God is not a kalo-kalo machine. Listen, righteousness is so that we can do the will of God. Righteousness is not so that we can get things out of God. That is, God taught us many principles. Let me take an example as an example again. Principle of faith, how to get this and get that. So what do I do with it? Do I now start using it to wake up every morning and start calling a bigger car? Maybe I saw an Infiniti QX65 drive-by, and a Toyota Sequila drive-by. So I wake up in the morning, I call a Toyota. I call a Sequila. I call them together. I call. God said, you are an idiot. What I say you should do is to wake up in the morning, prophesy to Cosmo FM, prophesy to other FMs, prophesy to for your seminars, prophesy concerning the word, because it's your responsibility to broadcast this word that I have given you. So you keep on prophesying. Do you get my point? The time you have been spending prophesying about Toyota Sequila, prophesy about new books coming out as a preacher, prophesy about your tapes going far and wide, prophesy about your messages being on other media to bless more people. And if you need the Toyota Sequila, just say, Lord, that car is fine. Anything for the boys. And continue your work. And you will just wake up one morning. Either somebody dashes you, or God arranges so much cash in your hand, you could just look money, say, wife, see money. And your wife will just, maybe that night, she just saw, the night before, she just saw a Toyota Sequoia. And you just say, husband, this amount of money, can I have a Toyota Sequoia? And you will know it is the voice of God. And you go and buy it. People think God only says give. God sometimes says buy for yourself. Do you know that? God will speak to you, lead you in the path of righteousness to acquire some things for yourself also. Amen. I hope you understood what I have said so far.